When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we got a fun show. We're going to talk about new shops, the new shop we're building over here, and the one that Goldberg's building, and a couple of other cool things, and the return of Goldberg's Demon from Saudi Arabia. But before we get started, our friends at Geico, maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it could be a lot of work. But bundling your policies with Geico is super easy. They make it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around the home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndrea here with Bill Goldberg. How are you, buddy?
I'm chilling, man. Out in nature, a little rainy day in Texas, you know?
Yeah, I hear the birds chirping and ranch life happening. Oh, I heard you got a... I saw your wife's social media. You got a new member of the family. You got that.
Who now?
You know,
another four-legged Goldberg came into our lives 2 days ago.
Yeah, I saw the little horse, kind of not running around quite yet, but wandering around.
Jeez. Yeah. She gets it's the Goldberg deal, man. She gets the horses, I get the cars.
Yeah.
You know the deal.
Yeah. And she gets a barn and you get a garage, right?
Exactly. It all works out like that. Thank God.
All right. Well, everybody's happy.
What's up with you and the hustle and bustle of LA now? With the restrictions being lifted, quote unquote, hopefully in the near future. And what's the 911?
I tell you, I've been talking to quite a few people about what's going on in their area and just to kind of get a feel for what's happening. And it's feeling more like, I don't know, like maybe it's just there's so many people in LA that you can't get everybody on the same page. And I think people are feeling a little like at their wit's end right now. Definitely a little stir crazy, and a lot of people feeling like they've got to work at some point. So you drive down the streets and, you know, the streets with a bunch of restaurants, Rodeo Drive, Santa Monica, you know, like Abbot Kinney, all those stores are closed, but you walk outside, there's people everywhere, right? There's still lines at the grocery store. There's cars all over the street. You know, the 10 freeway over here was already backed up end of last week. Like people are going places, and maybe they're just going to different types of work. Obviously just not restaurants and stuff. There's all this talk of the restaurants kind of struggling. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of people out. I was walking around my neighborhood here, which is, you know, a bunch of houses and tons of people out. Obviously they're at home, right? So a lot of people are still at home for the most part, but I've never seen so many dogs get walked in my neighborhood all at the same time. Like dogs are loving it because their people are home all the time and kids are playing and they're on the sidewalk with the chalk and they're doing all their art and stuff and playing games and whatnot. So I don't know. It just seems like a lot of people are out and, you know, we keep hearing about so many people possibly getting sick. And I guess if you don't see it firsthand, if you don't know people firsthand, then it's a little tough to kind of get you on board with it all the time. If you were taking care of somebody or you were sick yourself or something, then I get it. But a lot of people around here, you know, the numbers are pretty high in LA of people getting sick, but not compared to the millions and millions, the 30 million or so people in the area, you know? So I don't know. Like I'm eager to get back out there and do what we do and go out and get a steak. Like I want to sit down at a restaurant and get a steak. That would be nice. But in the meantime, I'm fine. I'll just sit here, just do what we do from here.
Yeah. It'd be nice if there was like an overall plan, you know. It's I say it's right. Like the day of indifference, because I went out and took delivery of the demon, which we'll get into here in a little while. But and yeah, man, it's packed. It's like there's more people out on the roads now. It seems like the right around the corner, everything's going to open up again, and everyone's trying to utilize their free time, quote unquote, you know, as best they can before they got to go back to their responsibilities, you know.
Yeah.
This is not a political forum by any stretch of the imagination, but like I said, it would just be nice if everybody was kind of on the same page.
Yeah, you know? You're right. So, like a plan would be helpful, would make a huge difference for everybody. Honestly, I think if there was a plan in place that made sense, that said, you know, whatever, this is when things will get lifted, this is how we're going to start phasing it at, you know, into action, then people would obey the rules a little bit more. But right now people are sort of desperate and they don't know what they can do, so they're just trying to get around. Now, don't get me wrong, like if you're just running around for no real reason, you're going to the beach because you're fighting the man, or you're protesting about, I don't want to be locked down. And of course, the funny photos that are going around of the guy protesting that says COVID-19 is a lie, but he's wearing head to toe, like hazmat suit with a mask. I'm like, all right, buddy, if you don't believe it, why are you dressed like, you know, like you're working at a crazy lab or something? Like that part I don't get. What people, but it's all very confusing. Actually, the part that I participate the most in my world is other people in my space and in our space who are essentially freelancers in the entertainment world and things like that. And then in the automotive world, the writers and journalists and video producers, and a lot of them are saying, hey, you know, what's going on with a stimulus check or the small business loan, or, you know, and there's no real information. And it is a little frustrating when you read the news and you read about some pretty well-funded public company like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse getting $20 yep. million dollars yep. in a loophole, when $20 million, if you, you know, even if you just took the $10,000 grants that they were giving to small businesses, you know, you take that 20 million or half of that, that's a lot of small businesses.
A lot of small businesses to take care of. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, the money isn't necessarily going to the right places. And I'm just saying that because just in my interactions, like on Facebook and text and stuff, I know a bunch of people that have small businesses, one person, two, three, four people, and they're all kind of struggling to make it work. Grand especially one. Companies that work in the event space, even the automotive event space. There are event planners, by the way, your cars and coffee events don't just happen without some people kind of putting that together. And some of those people rely a little bit on those deals as some income, right? There's some advertising, some promotion, some booths to sell, things like that. Without those happening, there's no money for those people. So
no, it's a, you know, the tough part. It's tough. And it's all relative, but hopefully, in this kind of a scenario, people will learn to reinvent themselves and come up with different mode of operandi maybe during this downtime to better service themselves and service, you know, their customers, and figure out a better way to operate. So,
yeah, I think it does teach us a lesson, a little bit of it just makes us more aware of things like this can happen, and we need to, you know, be conscious of how we handle that, not just health wise, but financially, because that's what we're going to feel way longer than anything else is the financial aspect of it. So anyway, I wish everybody the best of luck. You know, like I said, we'll get through it, and some people will get hit harder than others. And you know, certainly anything we can do to help, we want to be able to do that. And I don't know, provide a little bit of distraction in the meantime, hopefully. So, man, what's going on with the cars? You said you went and picked up the Demon.
Yeah, man. November 9th, I think, was the event date, if I remember correctly. But
right. The Saudi Arabia thing. That was the big auction. The
Global Auto Salon or whatever it was.
That's right. There was the auction over there and the big event. Bunch of the TV guys and from Discovery Channel and Motor Trend. Everybody went out there. It was sort of like a mini SEMA show, but a car auction as well. And you were looking to sell your car at the auction. I was one of the
450 people who took a vehicle that, and we won't rehash the story behind it all, but let's just go on by saying that I originally thought that the delivery of the Demon coming back from Saudi would be, you know, 2 or 3 months, which is understandable. But again, something affected by the pandemic. I just got it today. So what's today? 21st, something like that. April 22nd, something like that.
22nd today.
So yeah, that's a substantial amount of time to be without that vehicle. Fortunately, it still only has 5 miles on it, so I can't really complain. What does interest me and baffle me at the same time is how there happened to be a footprint on the roof of the car. I really don't even want to know the story, but thankfully there's no dent, no nothing like that. There's one scratch in the car. But I want to know the story behind the footprint on the roof.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess how they loaded it up or where they put it in.
I don't know. God only knows. I don't even want to, like I said, I don't even want to touch on it. But thankfully, there's no big dent on the roof and nothing other than a little chip and a couple tiny scratches. Like I said, 5 miles on the car. So fortunately, I got it back home. Well, kind of home.
Kind of home, yeah. It's in the area.
it's in storage. Yes,
it's in the area. So, just to back up a bit, people may not recall what car this is. When the Demon came out, you went to purchase two Demons. One that you were thinking of modifying, and the narrative on the modifications changed. And then the other one was meant to be a time capsule car, a collectible piece. And we've already seen them trade at auction for pretty decent money, especially for a new, a fairly new muscle car, a car that often takes a while to really earn some money. It was a good investment. So you bought the green one. You have the F8 green one, right? That you've done some modifications on. And this one's black. This one's black, black.
And, yeah, my favorite color. You know, I thought the first one, the one that I was gonna keep, number 37 was gonna be the black one, but the colors kind of got switched, and I got that one first, and so I had to start driving it, and F8 was a pretty badass color, you know, unbeknownst to itself, but. So, you know, I still got the black one. The black one's bitching. It's got 5 miles on it. And, I put it in the time capsule, in the car capsule, in the time capsule.
Yeah.
Or the time capsule in the car capsule, and then in the storage container. And then, yes, hopefully one of these days it'll be at quote-unquote Goldberg's garage. But it has to – ground has to be broken and permits have to be – you know, everything's getting screwed up. I'm not going to complain, man, that the building – process has been pushed back a little bit, but It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll happen.
You know all about that.
Yeah. It'll happen. We're doing some stuff over here with that as well. But my question about the car was, I was a little surprised when you were taking the car there to sell it anyway. But now that it didn't sell, what's your thought on it? Is this, you may wait a while, let the economy recover, maybe bring it to another auction or look to sell it, or is it going to be at home for a while?
Fortunately, it's something to where I really don't have to make a decision right now.
Yeah.
It can sit in storage for another 6 months before the garage is built. Hopefully it'll sit in the garage for a little while. I mean, I could keep it 6 months. I could keep it 6 years. I could keep it 16 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'll make the best decision based upon, you know, the current climate and, you know, what the foreseeable future looks like on the car. But fortunately, I don't have to get rid of it now. So
it's interesting that a lot of these decisions often come down to storage space. And,
yeah, exactly. Put it this way. Other ones are and at the direction of my son.
Yeah.
Others are reaching the chopping block way sooner than that car is.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm excited about the garage. It's no secret. Adam's been working on a building out here in LA as well. Just a little bit more of a showroom type of place, just to display some of the racing cars. And there's this loft kind of mezzanine that was built in there, and it's beautiful. And it's got this kind of a high end, like hangout place and, you know, sort of a screening area. And we talked about it. It was like, this should all be just beautiful glass railing and a floating glass staircase and really have a big presence as you walk up there. And then it overlooks, you know, all the cars down below. And let me tell you, getting stairs made and glass railing, you think it's so nice and simple. It's just glass and a couple of like stainless steel stanchions holding up. That shit's expensive.
Well, not only is it expensive, but it's got to meet code. And then, you know, the weight has something to do with it. And then do you need one staircase or do you need two? And
right. You got to have two. You got to have another egress staircase, which will be more of a hidden one just built in the back and not the one that's presented. But yeah, especially in California, the building codes are a big pain in the ass. What they made Adam build for this mezzanine is ridiculous. The glass has to all be a laminated glass and it has to have certain railings and certain heights and stuff. But, I got some renderings, some 3D renderings from the company that's building it. And this is kind of interesting. So we went around this several times with the guys in the shop over here. Our guys in the shop, Sean and Jose, is those guys kept saying, hey, we could build this. You know, let's get the steel I-beam. We'll make the backbone for the stairs. We'll make the steps. And then they could just go and buy and source a bunch of the glass pieces.
Well, yeah, and I'm pissed that you didn't pick up the phone and call Garage Mahal to come in and do it.
Yeah, right? but the reason why we didn't build it was because of all the codes and the inspections. These guys would do a great job. It wouldn't be any different, but are they certified welders? And is the inspector going to come in? And the inspector is going to look at the weld, but he really wants to see all the paperwork. And going with this company, it's no secret. It's a company called ViewRail that we like. By going with them, they've done stuff pretty much all over the country. So they have the certifications, they have the paperwork, they have, you know, the glass meets a certain standard, the rail height is a certain height, the backbone and the welds are all basically certified by their people in-house. You know,
they're not reinventing the wheel.
They're not. And so what you're paying for is a lot of that paperwork to go along with it. So you can build it yourself, but if you want it legit and you want it permitted, you need to end up going with somebody like this. And why does it cost more money? Is because they already went through all the hassle of getting the certifications and all the time and money invested into it. So I don't know. It's kind of a, kind of an interesting thing, kind of a big
pain in the ass. So just a disclaimer, we're not sitting here bitching about, you know, our upper elitist problems. We're bitching about things that fellow auto enthusiasts are going through at the same time on different levels.
I just
got the drawings for the building before, you know, all the engineering plans and everything was submitted. And I got to tell you, man, there's a couple things. I mean, it's taken a long time to get to, I mean, you know, all of this, it's taken a long time to get to where we are now.
Yeah.
I already know a couple things that I'm going to completely change, but it's like, when do I bring them to their attention so that the process continues along, you know, at the pace that it's going, and hopefully faster, as opposed to me slowing it down to a creeping halt again.
Yeah, that was the tough part. It's when it has to get resubmitted, like to the inspectors, when the plans have to get submitted, anytime it gets sent back to the state or the city or whatever, that's where all the time comes in. So any changes you need to make with your architects and your designers now.
Well, and then look at the process under the circumstances right now, which is not going to be time effective by any stretch of imagination. So.
Nothing is moving quickly, that's for sure. But what you were saying about, like, you know, we're just saying if anybody's thinking about building anything, and you're obviously building it the right way and you're building it to code, if you can, you know, when you're sort of forced to do that, this isn't about, is it safe or is it not safe? Because we overbuild everything that we're building anyway. There are welders, our guys, I-beams, forklifts, we've got all that stuff over there already. But, you know, we were planning for a long time, this big CarCast live event, the car show and everything at the Peterson Museum. And part of that was a charity ticket that you can come and tour the garage. We did it last year. I think we did 50 tickets exclusively. And we knew the new garage would never be done in time for the event that we planned.
Well, you should have raffled off. Well, next time, depending upon the time of the event, you can raffle off 50 tickets of people that can pick up a freaking hammer and a screwdriver and help you finish it.
That's what we should do. Like, come on over and work on the place. But now that it looks like the event is postponed indefinitely, we will do it. I just don't know exactly when. It's far more likely that the new shop will be on the schedule to tour. So anybody that came out last year and saw the old shop and tour around, saw the cars there, the new tickets will be for the new place. That much I can almost guarantee, because the stairs are going to be done in a few months. It's going to be, we're starting the manufacturing on it. Talk to the epoxy floor coating guys and what we're doing. I got some samples coming out. I'm doing kind of special with that. A lot being put into it. Because we're not in a rush, I could go to these guys and go, send me the samples. And I want it to be shiny, but I don't want it, you know, to have a lot of footprints on the floor. And we came up with
a tile.
You know, it's funny is the whole thing is a fairly new building and the cement is in really great shape. So they're just going to go in and cut it and prep it. And they're going to do an epoxy. Basically, like, the main showroom area will be a light gray, and then the work area will be a white, and then none of the fleck or any of that other stuff's going down. It's going to have a little bit of metallic, and it's going to be interesting, because then the top coat will be a satin top coat. It won't be a high gloss, because the high gloss really just shows the imperfections and dirt and footprints even just throughout the week. So the satin hides it a lot, but the metallic underneath does reflect some of the light. So you'll get some sheen to it that is easier to clean. So imagine a car or truck with a really good silver paint job, which has a lot of metallic in it, but then you sprayed a satin clear coat over it. You would have that frosted look, but the light would shine off of those flakes in the paint. So all of our LEDs and stuff that are all that light the whole place up are also dimmable. So when you do an event, you can put a little more attention on some cars or bring some attention down in some areas. It's going to be kind of interesting.
Sounds like you're describing a disco.
I know we're excited about it. How could you not be, right? Because I know, like, as you're sitting there and you're starting to get the plans and stuff, once they start throwing like the 3D renderings your way,
I'm so way overwhelmed, dude. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
from the material to from the flooring, which thank God we've already got a tile that we're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
To the each bay is going to be different, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's going to have a theme, and the decor is not going to be the same exact throughout. So there's so much to go into. But once I get to those final finishing touches, I'll be ecstatic. I just want to see the freaking pad put down, you know, to be honest with you at this point. So once the pad's down, it's going to start rolling. It's a different structure too, because they complete the structure, they engineer and erect the structure in Kentucky, you know, first, and then bring it out here. So they deconstruct it and then, you know, put it on big trucks and bring the thing out here. So it's such an involved process. But those finishing touches, I can't wait to get to those.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm curious about the tile when you get into it, because I asked these guys, I said, hey, we've painted floors before and did it ourselves, even with sort of an epoxy paint, as they say, and difficult to clean, stains a bit, does peel up a little bit. And I said, I need the floors done bulletproof. I need it not just so I can roll cars in and out. Like, we need to roll the forklift in there and with that hard wheel and the whole thing. And these guys are like, yeah, we can do it. We've got the epoxy. There's three layers to it. And, each layer for about the size of this building, it's about half your size, is about a day of work. So the prep, where they kind of cut it and grind it all down, that's just a whole day. And then the first layer of epoxy is a whole day. And then the metallic is a day. And then the top coat's a day. And then it takes 24 hours before you can just walk on it, but then a couple days before you can actually put any weight on it. So if we started the process on a Monday, we can start rolling in gear the following Monday. But it's a full week of doing it to do it right. And then I said, great. I said, because as they're going to do the floors before we finish the stairs and everything. And I said, but it needs to be bulletproof so I could roll a forklift in there holding giant I-beams. And the guy's like, it's going to be fine. I was like, great. You know, you guys are getting like a tile or something that's also like super durable.
I told you at one point about a business down the road called Mark Motors. They deal in high-end exotics, but the owner's got a muscle car bug. So he and his son have a building next door. You call it a building, but it's another showroom. And, you know, it's probably got 20 lifts in it, and it's full of muscle cars. Old, you know, 60s, 70s muscle cars. So, and the floor in there is that tile that I'm going to replicate in mine. And it's durable. It's been in there for, I think the guys had it in there for 2 or 3 years, had absolutely no complaints, no chipping, no structural damage, you know, when big lifts are brought in or trucks or, you know, I don't know, what do you call it? A little tractor vehicle to bring those things in. But I'm crossing my fingers. It's beautiful. It's like a dark, it's like a chocolate brown. It's not a lot of sheen on it. I'll get some pictures of it, man. It's absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, unfortunately I'm having to do a large area, but we got a really good deal on it. So
I know
first time, company... first time I've ever gone with a tile. I've done everything else, but first time I've gone with a tile. So we'll see.
I'd love to see the renderings and stuff that maybe you'll throw it up on your social media at some point. Just
that's one of those things where I'm proud of it. And you know, Metron Garage, has bent over, you know, backwards, and all the other sponsors with it. But, you know, I think once it's finished, you know, I'm going to obviously, I'll probably shoot a show or there, show or two there. But I don't know, man. That's a fine line between, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I can't put it out there and go, hey, man, check out this cool thing that I've been working my ass off for my entire life. And, you know, the first 10 comments are going to be, what a dick, man. What a show off. So, you know,
it's kind of unfair.
It's a really fine line.
It's kind of an unfair comment, but it's going to happen either way. And I'd hate to think that, you know, the trollers and stuff out there and we're kind of ruining it for everybody else. But
no, you can't give them the time of day. At the end of the day, yes, I'm going to post a bunch of stuff. But matter of fact, man, you got me. You got me thinking about it. I'll post something on Goldberg's Garage with one of the renderings here in the next week.
All right. We'll be looking forward to it. Just a shout out to our friends at Dodge with Dodge Power Dollars. For every horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle that you purchase, you'll get $10 off. It's peeling out in a 2019 Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack. No problem. You just got $4,580 off. Good. We need that. anyway, so that's good. The garage stuff, it's kind of fun. Like you said, it's going to be filmed at some point. It's going to be a location to film stuff, and our garage, again, it's all Adam's garage, but you know, that'll be a place that we will have some events, and we'll do some charity events, and we'll do some tours. It'll be available for, you know, sort of the car show stuff. You know, we do want to be able to let people in there and show it off. It's not going to be normally open to the public. We get a lot of requests for that. It's just, we just don't have people in there all the time that are ready to just give tours. I wish we could.
Well, yeah, it's not on his property.
Right. It's not on his property. That's the other thing. And LA is so tough to do that. Everybody we know out here that even has a little bit of a collection, Bruce Meyer at the Peterson Museum, his place, and, you know, everything's just sort of distant and kind of offsite or even multiple locations. And so space is always the thing as you build up your car collection, even if you have a bunch of, you know, $12,000 cars like I do and not $100,000 cars.
So along those lines, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, but, you know, while people are sitting at home and they don't have a lot of things to do, I'm not one to promote being on the internet any more than you have to, but what is the absolute coolest garage in LA? I'm not, you know, obviously Leno's, but what is the most visually spectacular? I thought I saw one, a building, and I sent you some pictures of it, I think, that's in Malibu, that's like a glass structure, and it's all modern sports cars, and it's a club, I think. Or is it privately owned? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
there was one on a property, and it came up because it was a car collector, but it was a house for sale, and the owner did have enough land to build a garage. And it had quite a few cars in it, 10 or 12 cars in it. It wasn't 20,000 square foot garage.
This was a 20, like a 20,000 square foot deal. It's all open. All modern
that is.
Exotics. Yeah. I think it's in I don't know if it's in Malibu, but the road drives around. It's like a corner turn that goes around the structure, and it's mostly glass. Huh. I'm just, first of all, you got to find that. And second of all, what's your favorite place to go check out cars in the LA area? Is it the Peterson?
Well, the Peterson has a great collection, and the building that they redid is fantastic. So that's a great place. And actually a good looking museum that I believe I'm going to be touring or filming somewhere at some point. I've just seen all the pictures, is the Mullen Museum in Oxnard. Now, Peter Mullen is also like the chairman of the, of the Peterson Museum, but he has his own museum. It's a lot of older French cars, the Bugattis and, mm-hmm. and things like that. But he's the guy that there was this great story about this Bugatti that somebody was trying to bring back to a different country, and there was some tax issue and they couldn't do it. So they were just going to throw it in the ocean, but they're like, we may want this someday. So somehow they used like a big chain, and they tied this chain onto the car, and they threw the car in the ocean, and it was supposed to dangle on a chain like 30 feet below the water. And eventually the chain broke and it fell like 180 feet, like almost unattainable. And then it sat there for, I don't know, since, I don't know, 1925 or 35 or something like that, forever. And then, I don't know, like 2008 or 9, there was this excavation to pull it out of the water. And when that happened, Peter Mullen knew about it. He knew he had to have the car. There was a, you know, a few bids on it. And he pulled it out, didn't do anything like to it. He just pulled it out like a sunken treasure. And they have all these video and photos of it underwater. And there was a whole dive team and whole thing. So now when you go to the Mullen Museum, it's beautiful and it's well lit and all these beautifully restored cars that are on the podiums. But then he has this room that's super dark, and sitting on this podium and dark with just some accent lighting is this rusted bucket Bugatti. But in the background is just like photos of the underwater thing. It's here's a little bit of, we're looking at it now in our Zoom thing. He built this beautiful room, and I would imagine this place is just fantastic. And he said, it's funny, he said, everybody comes to see the one of two Bugatti, that one Pebble Beach. But when they leave, they're all talking about this car instead. Yeah. And so this place is fantastic. But the other place that you're thinking of is I don't know if I can send this to Chris on the chat, but there is a place in Malibu that it has this super garage, and this might be what you're talking about. There's a place in Malibu with this big crazy garage. Chris can put up the image. It is it was a house for sale. This is the one I was thinking. I don't know if it's the one you were thinking. It's 7,000 square feet. It's home to 25 cars. It has an 800 square foot second floor.
That's mezzanine. That's bitching. Yeah, that's bitching, but that's not it.
That's not it. Yeah. So that's this place, really, yeah. But this is on somebody's property. This has an 800 square foot like apartment on the second floor.
Yeah.
With, you know, it's a bedroom, bathroom, and the whole thing. And this is the one that I was thinking of. We're looking at the photos. And even to have something like that on your property, especially out here, is
crazy.
Is a lot. The listing says, unfortunately, the 14 cars that were in there, they're not included when you buy the house.
They can at least throw one of them in.
Yeah, I know, right? I guess if you're going to be spending $10 million on that house, you can go get a few of your own cars. Anyway, so the Mullen Museum is top notch. There is Bruce Meyer's collection that we've talked about before. You know Bruce, I believe. Bruce Meyer's business, I believe these days, is largely real estate. So the Rodeo Drive and Beverly Drive, the most expensive shopping streets out there. He's for a long time owned a bunch of those properties and leases them out to the various stores. That's how I understand it. And so his garage is right off of Beverly Boulevard. It's the block next Rodeo. Rodeo and Beverly, again, the two big streets. And it was, I believe it was the first parking garage. It was like a multi-level parking garage. The first one in Beverly Hills, and he got it and he sort of enclosed it and added an elevator, a car lift to it instead of driving up the ramps. And and turned it into his private car collection garage. So you drive down Beverly Boulevard, you don't see a car collection or garage. You see like a high-end store, like, I don't know, a Louis Vuitton or Gucci or something. And then there's like a small, like taco place and a couple of glass doors that go to an office building. Those glass doors, you open that, you go up some stairs and there's some offices where he runs his business. And then you keep walking and then you're into his garage, which is the parking garage in this brick building in the middle of the street. I have no idea what the property and the land is worth.
God only knows. In that location?
Yeah. And in the back alley where people, you know, would load things into the various stores, he has a garage door there and there's a car lift elevator so he can pull cars out there. And he redid it a few years ago. We filmed there. We were the first to film there. Adam and I went and took a tour there and he's like, it's not fully done yet. It was a funny story because we kept saying, hey, Bruce, let us into your garage. Let us in. We want to film CarCast. And finally he said, yes. And then we posted the video and people loved it and said, he did such a great job, redoing it, restoring the place. And then I talked to him and he's like, guys, he's like, I didn't know the video was going to be so popular. All my friends have been asking to come over and see the garage are all like, how come Corolla and DeAndrea were there with cameras? I haven't even been invited over there yet. And he's like, I'm sorry. They kept bugging me and they just had cameras going and they got a kind of a first look for it. But also the cars in there are what make it. It's not about having the most cars. It's just all of his cars that he has are like Le Mans winners. He has like the Cobra that won Le Mans, the Ferrari that won Le Mans, even the modern day, like Pratt & Miller Corvette that won Le Mans. So like he has like a row of cars and you're like Le Mans winner, Le Mans winner, Le Mans winner. Any car that's worth $5 million, it's 15 or 20 because it's the Le Mans winner, right? So that's what his collection is. I can't imagine. I don't know. I guess if you walked around and just said, hey, Bruce, give me an estimate on that car and that car and that car and that car, it would just be a dozen cars and be hundreds of millions.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to fathom what that price tag would be.
Yeah, and he does a lot of taking them out of that collection and bringing cars to share over at the Peterson Museum as well. So he does share a lot of that kind of stuff. So people do get to see the cars, when he wants to move them from one to the other. And he's Bruce Meyer, right? So he just takes whatever. It doesn't matter if it's a race car, street legal, and he just drives it down Beverly Boulevard, down to Fairfax, into the Peterson Museum. And the cops are like, oh, yeah, that's just Bruce Meyer, I guess. I don't know how it works, but when you're sort of the unofficial mayor of Beverly Hills, I guess you get away with stuff like that. It's good to be king.
Nice to be Bruce.
Yeah, it's nice to be Bruce. Anyway, so we're gonna wrap some things up in a second, but
that was one of the yard workers coming in. I was gonna put them on, screen for essential workers and pat them on the back, but it was only Wanda.
It was Wanda on a tractor with that.
Well, kind of, yeah, close.
We're big fans of McLaren. And that's no secret over here. And McLaren's doing some testing that is kind of interesting. So McLaren announced that all of their cars will be hybrid of some sort eventually. Now, don't be fooled by that term. We mean hybrid in the performance sense of the word, not hybrid in the sense of Toyota Prius kind of sense of the word. More like Acura NSX and McLaren P1. And the first of their hybrid series may be one of the sports cars, so possibly the 570S. What's going to be interesting is how they do the engines. We're not exactly sure, but we're pretty sure they've been working on a twin turbo V6 engine, which could pair nicely to a hybrid powertrain. Let's say the turbo V6 in the rear, powering the rear wheels, throw a couple electric motors on the front wheels, and you've got a McLaren version of the NSX. And then maybe sort of the bigger cars, let's say the 720 versions, the supercar versions, could probably still keep their I believe 4-liter twin turbo V8 and then add some hybrid power to it. So maybe the way to differentiate the sports car series, their arguably entry-level McLarens from the supercar series, would be the V6 power versus the V8 power. But I'm down. It doesn't matter to me now, the V6, V8 power. If you make it sound good and the performance numbers are there, I'm okay with – I don't have to be the whole, like, if it doesn't have a V8
– it's got to fit the certain criteria, that's all, you know. Yeah. Just like you said.
We talked about it before. Aston Martin is, Aston Martin has the 12 cylinders and the 8 cylinders that they source from AMG. And they're going to stop doing that. I think AMG is not even going to make an 8 cylinder. They're going to run out of engines. So Aston Martin's been developing a very cool turbo V6 in-house. And they're saying that it'll probably almost always be mated up to some sort of electric powertrain as well. So similar path to McLaren, but instead of all cars being a hybrid version, Aston Martin may see V6 with electric power and the V12 twin turbo on its own as just a naturally aspirated power version. So I don't know, it's kind of interesting to see what they do, but they're super fun to drive. I've been such a fan of the McLarens. When you get in them, they are addicting to.
They're a dream, man. Are you kidding me? That's the pinnacle of a sports car, if you ask me. But so that changes daily these days.
Yeah. All right. So before we wrap it up, how about a little Tesla news? This is not, I'm not picking on Tesla. This is not Tesla bad news. This is Tesla.
This is just factual news.
This is it. Just reporting news. This is news is what's going on with the Tesla Cybertruck.
Can you say that sentence without laughing?
Because it's tough to sort of like not set it up and go, you know, the really great display where they have this goofy looking giant thing and they threw the rock at it or the BB or whatever it was, and it broke the window.
The
and
BB. Blah, blah, blah. Give a little bit of credit, man. It had a little weight to it. It was a fishing weight.
Yeah, there you go. It was almost like a lure or something. We knew when he made the announcement that he's like, we don't even know how we're going to build it, and it's gonna change a little bit, but by all means give us a deposit. So what he's saying is it needs to have some off-road capability. So they're saying they've been working a lot on the air suspension, the travel for it. They want much better off-roading capabilities, and he said this needs to kick butt in Baja. So
good luck with that.
I don't know what that really means, or if he intends on actually doing a race at the Baja 1000 or something.
To be able to take him seriously, dissect that sentence a little bit. It has to perform a little bit off road, and then it's got to compete and be able to do well in Baja. I think there's a wide discrepancy there.
But I don't know what his intention is. Are you trying to make a good truck, a work truck, something that the most of the audience would do? Or are you trying to do like a Ford Raptor, right? Right. This is the reason why Ford has several variations of the truck. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what he does. And I'm sure there could be options to it. Maybe there's an off-road version, not just a street version of it. But also he's saying that overall, there's going to be a reduction in size of approximately 3%. So the truck that we know is very big will come down a little bit. The center line is more level and a lower window sill height. I don't know if he means the overall belt line of the truck, which seems kind of high, but that's kind of how I'm seeing it.
I'm just going to say it. Who gives a shit?
Right. It's
I'm sorry.
It's going to... Anyway, I got nothing else. I got nothing else. That's it. That's all I got. All I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you this. Our friends at Dodge. Our friends at Dodge, give your local Dodge dealer a call that where they bring you performance, technology, and great deals. There's never been a better time now because right now Dodge is offering Power Dollars. And with Power Dollars, you get $10 off for each horsepower of your new ride. Every 2019 Dodge Charger, every 2019 Dodge Challenger, the 2019 Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack with 485 horsepower. You pick one of those up and you receive an almost $5,000 cash allowance. So if you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. So hurry over to your computer or your phone, dial up your local Dodge dealer and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. All right. So, I think we're all wrapped up, man.
I say, if you're not going to at least take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars, call your local dealer and have them deliver a red eye to your house so you can test drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have I'm them just do saying. That. By the way, we talk about Dodge, but we, you know, there's some deals going on with Jeep and, the Gladiator and stuff.
Oh my God. I was just going to mention that to you.
You know, my brother called me and he's like, my truck is dying. I might get something else. And I'm, you know, what about 10-year-old this or 10-year-old that? I was like, right now, the hot ticket is the new cars. You can go, you can deal. You're getting good financing. They're furlonging some payments. They're covering some payments. You might not have a payment for 6 months on some of these car companies. I think Ford as well. So there's a lot going on there. So if you need something or want something and you have the means to do it, it's not a terrible time to buy. All right, so let's wrap it up. And next week we are going to have a guest on our show. He's going to be zooming in. Russell, I believe his name is. He's the head of design for Lotus, and he will be joining us probably from home, but from the UK. So I will be getting a Lotus Evora GT to test drive, and then we will be ringing up the guys from Lotus and hearing about what they've got going on, their crazy supercar, new financing, new ownership. They've got a lot of plans, so I'm interested to getting into to hearing about that.
Me too.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So we'll prepare for that for next week. So tune in for next week as well. All right, thanks guys for myself and Chris who's around and Bill. Thanks for I heard a lot of birds at the beginning, but I don't hear them anymore. So maybe it was when a lot of wind went by with the leaf blower or the traffic or the tractor or whatever.
I had the Longhorns gonna stage so that they were gonna walk behind me and stuff. And nobody got their cue this morning, so I'll see you about next week.
All right. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Guys, thanks for listening. Again, we have a big show next week with our friends from Lotus. Before we wrap it up, a reminder about Geico. Whether you own your home or rent your home, it doesn't matter. Bundling policies with Geico is super easy. You can bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing because you have so much to do around your home already. Why not do this? It's easy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Visit geico.com. That's geico.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.